Earlier in Lent, some of you know, I had gone down and spent a couple days down in the Diocese of Biloxi, Mississippi, to help with a day of prayer for all of the priests. And when I was down there, I happened to bump into a huge group of people that were also down in Mississippi for one of these giant medieval reenactments. And the parish where the event was is a little tiny parish, and the rectory only had one room for the pastor who was there, so I just stayed at a little kind of motel nearby, hotel, and it was filled with all of these people who looked like they walked right out of like about the 1200s, and they were all in costume, and it was, I had no idea, like I'd never been to Mississippi. I thought, wow, this is different than being like in the Baltimore, Washington area. But they told me, no, we don't actually dress like this all the time. We're here as part of this big, it's like this international medieval reenactment society, and they have a big event in Mississippi. So our gathering here today is not like their gathering. They gather together to try to somehow keep alive something from history that we've moved on from, but they're trying to keep it alive by a reenactment. There are other people who belong to historical societies that try to keep the memories of things from the past alive, but our gathering here on Easter Sunday is utterly different than that. We are here not just to remember an event from 2,000 years ago almost, just something from history. We're here because we believe in faith that the resurrection of Christ, the power of his being raised from the dead, the Lord Jesus risen from the dead, is offering to us now in our life, in this very moment, this time of prayer, a share in his risen life. That is what makes all of this utterly different from any other kind of historical gathering or anything like that. We are here because we believe that the resurrection of Christ has power and meaning for us now in our life. We get to learn a little bit about, Lord, how do we enter into that? How do we share in that? Because no Christian wants all of this just to be like an historical society gathering. We come because we believe, Lord, all of this, you want this to be real for us in our life now. So how do we enter into that? So I want to look at that with you, and to get there, just setting up as we go through this beautiful gospel passage that proclaims the resurrection from Mark's gospel. Notice that the starting point for us always is, it's all about love, his love for us first, that God always takes the initiative in that, but we respond. The women that are mentioned in the gospel get up early on Sunday morning as the sun is rising. They get the spices, they go to the tomb. But it's only after they are practically there at the tomb that they say to one another, oh, who's going to roll the stone back for us? I love this because we sometimes think so rationally. Like I could think like, why weren't you asking that question last night or on Good Friday? You know, before you bought the spices, because the stone is huge and no one is just going to kind of casually roll it out of the way. Like this is a massive work. And the reason that they're not thinking of it first and foremost in that super kind of overly logical way is because what's leading here is not just like the clear-cut logic of the mind, it's the love of the heart. And they're driven by love. And that love, in a beautiful way, leaves room for the Lord to do something miraculous. So it's only when they get to the tomb that they say, who's going to roll the stone back for us? It's a love that goes beyond reason. It's not a love that's without reason. It has reason, but it goes beyond reason. Reason would say, we're not going to be able to get the stone rolled back. Let's not even bother going. But love takes the lead and drives the women to the tomb. When they get there, they discover that the stone has been rolled back, we're told. And then they see, as they peer into the tomb, that there is a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a white robe. This is an angel, and this is how Scripture often depicts the angels. And we're told the women were utterly amazed. Every one of us would have been, right? I mean, to have arrived at the tomb, to see an angel inside, the stone rolled back, they were utterly amazed. But then the first thing the angel says to them is, "Do not be amazed." This is really awesome, because the Lord is saying to the women and to us, I want you to have a faith in me that expects to see miracles. I want you to trust so much in the power of my love, which goes beyond reason. It is unreasonable that God would offer his life for us on the cross, but his love goes beyond reason. And he says to us here, by way of the word to the women, don't be amazed when you see my love doing great things. Why would that surprise you? I don't want that to surprise you. I want you to know so deeply my love for you that when things like this happen, you know, yes, Lord, this is the way that you love us, and your love is powerful, even more powerful than death. And so do not be amazed. The angel says, you seek Jesus of Nazareth, the crucified. He singles that out because he wants the women to know what you saw on Good Friday, that really happened. He really did die. But he has been raised. He is not here. And then the angel says to the women, behold the place where they laid him. And so in a really beautiful way, the women are told to confirm with their own eyes the reality of his victory over death. It's like the angel is saying to them, don't just take my word for it, but enter into the tomb. Look, behold the place where they laid him and see that he's not here. In other words, make this your own. And that's the part that connects with where we are today. The Lord is saying to us as we come to celebrate his resurrection, I want you, I invite you, make this your own. Meaning, I want you to be sharers in. I want you to enter into, to participate in. I want to give you a share in my victory over death. Don't just take others' words for it. But I want you to allow me into your heart, that you would let me be at work through my risen power to demonstrate in your life right now that I am truly raised from the dead. Well, what does that look like? Well, it looks like in our life what it looked like in the lives of those that Jesus first gathered to himself. We know there were people who they knew that they were living a life that was just going in an opposite direction from what the Lord made them for. And maybe they got to a point where they just said, you know what, I am such a great sinner that God would never be interested in me anymore. And then, bam, Jesus is just right there calling sinners to himself. And that's part of what it means for us to be made sharers in this. He died and was raised up that you and I might be set free from sin. And so that's a huge area where the Lord says, to make this your own, come close to me, enter into it, but allow me into your heart enough that I can forgive you and set you free from your sins. There are other people in the Gospels for whom the risen Lord, he brought to them healing, physical, spiritual, emotional. That's another area where the Lord says to us, I want my risen power to be at work in your life. I want to heal you. I can do that. And there's all kinds of beautiful healings that fill the Gospels, but the Lord still works in that way. But we have to be ready to kind of enter into it, to not stand outside the empty tomb as though it were just, again, an historical kind of a thing, but to enter into the tomb where we say, Lord, risen from the dead, I need your power at work in me. We know beautifully over the centuries, one of the huge works of his risen life, his power has been, he wants to set us free from addiction. So many things that we get trapped and stuck in our life. So many different things that we end up becoming slaves to. And the Lord says, I didn't make you for that. I made you to be free. That's an area where the Lord wants to come and where he wants to demonstrate his risen power. There are other areas where, you know, some of us here have experienced such deep trauma and hurts and wounds in life that it makes it really hard just to love a spouse, to love your kids. Like in your heart, you know, I want to love better, but you know there's stuff that's happened to you in life that gets in the way of that. And the Lord says, I want you to not be afraid to let me get down into that really deep area of pain, trauma, that I can bring healing. So these are just examples of what the Lord has in mind for us today. He says to us through the angel, come in, behold the place where they laid me. Make this truth your own, that I have been raised from the dead, and I want to pour out that risen power, that new life, the healing, the mercy, the forgiveness. I want to pour that out into your life. The only way that will really fully happen is when we allow him into those areas of our life where things are such a mess that it's like a tomb, and maybe you've had trauma and hurt that's been just so deep that part of you feels like it has died, and you've rolled the stone over it, and you're like, you know what? That part of my life is so painful that no one is ever going to be let in there. You don't even let yourself into there. You know, we do that. When we've gone through really incredibly difficult, painful things in life, our first instinct always is, shut that down. I need to get away from the pain. And then we look for shortcuts just to keep it far away from us. And we can go through big chunks of our life with tombs inside of our heart that we're like, I can't even think about going there. And the Lord says to us today, I need you to let me into that area. And I know that it's going to be painful. And I know that you think the last way to find healing is to let me into the pain, to revisit that. But I need you to let me into that. Like, behold the place where they laid him. The opposite side of it is, he says, you need to let me into those places of your life where you've experienced stuff that's just so hard and difficult and painful that you've got the stone roll over that area. Today, I want to just encourage you, invite you, plead with you. Let what we celebrate today become real and powerful by not being afraid to let the Lord into some of those areas. It may be that one area of your life where you have a sin that you've just never dealt with and you thought it's never going away and Jesus can't do anything about it. It may be an area of addiction. It may be an area where you as a little child just experienced something really painful. And in that moment that trauma happened, you just shut down and you came up with all kinds of ways to kind of just live life ignoring that. And you've kind of built a house of cards, and you know that it's not really living. And the Lord says, will you let me into that area? It doesn't happen magically. It really is the whole work of our spiritual life, allowing the risen Lord in. But I want to invite you, don't be afraid to do that. Don't be afraid to let him in, so that what we celebrate today would be so much more than just an historical reenactment, a gathering of a Christian historical society, but rather believers, disciples who come to the Lord because we know, Lord, you have been raised from the dead, you are alive, and you pour out that risen power, that victory, that mercy into my life now for healing and for forgiveness.